Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I still don't understand what everyone's beef was. The 1 cent stamp was the cheapest option that they had on that wall.
I'm sitting here going, how old were you? And you're like, I was 20. I was 20 years old.
20-year-old man learning how the postal system worked. It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN Plus, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got a bunch of good ones for you today because there is a lot happening right now. Fines being handed down in the NFL to organizations for a lot of varying reasons. We have got the injury update that you likely heard relative to Giannis Antetokounmpo from our friend Doug Brown during that SportsCenter update. But to help us out with all of that, as we were also on Name, Image, and Likeness Day in college sports, happy Name, Image, and Likeness Day if that's a thing you celebrate, Randy Scott, who joins us now, SportsCenter's very own. You've seen him around here at ESPN Radio tons over the last few years here, and now he hangs out with us today.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited to be back in a studio. Like, the last radio sort of reps I did, it was the height of the pandemic, and they were like, hey, we're sending you a box to your house.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Wipe it down when you get it, all that stuff, and we're going to fire you up on Saturday mornings with Nicole Briscoe, because everything was so dialed back. And I remember talking about, you know, the MLS coming. You know what I mean? Like, we were excited about, like, things starting to feel normal coming back. And now this looks normal. This is like being back in studio with somebody, a full crew, like having a radio meeting before. I was like, we got a Zoom today. Like, let's go. I'm excited.
It is pretty bizarre to think about all these things coming back and, like, starting to feel familiar again to us here.
Yeah.
Travel being a part of things, being at sporting events. Although, I, like, again, like, niche guy over here, like my sport guy. The first sporting events that I went to post all of the pandemic was the college lacrosse Final Four.
At the wrench
over here, hometown guy here. And then now getting ready, I have been to... since then, two LA Sparks games there. Shout out, go Sparks.
Nice.
We're riding out here for Chinee Agwumike. And then now I get to go to the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Contest this weekend. So I don't want to say I'm peaking early in my return to sports, but I think based on that rundown, not to toot my own horn, LeBron James was on the same sideline that I was at the Sparks game last night. I've set a hell of a tempo here.
Yeah, you're Michael Scott in that fun run, that charity run, where they're like, Michael, take it easy, but you've already carb loaded with the pasta, and you're just done. The rest of it is downhill from here. I did one Red Sox game, very minimum capacity on Patriots Day. Patriots Day, kid.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Fenway. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
And then later, once they open it back up, and I have a motion that we'll probably maybe get to later in the show. You know, Sweet Caroline is the anthem.
Oh, yeah.
At Fenway. I feel like the pandemic should have given us an opportunity to rethink a few customs with regard to localize, like, this is what we say. Colin Baton Rouge at Tiger Stadium.
Oh.
That stays. Sweet Caroline, maybe that deserves a little upgrade, because they played, just sort of a sneaky thing, they played the Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Yes.
And I want to say Fenway rocked a little harder for it, sang along a little louder, smiled a little
wider. I don't want to make too many comments about Mr. Brightside and the thoughts of the fan base there and the demographic that tends to be ignited by both of those things, but at the same time, Mr. Brightside will do weird things to a bar, and so I have no doubt that it really lit that place up. So very excited for the return of all that. Very excited to have Randy Scott with us in here today. And it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because we have got so much kind of happening today. We're going to spend some time coming up here with Name, Image, and Likeness and the changes that went in to the world of college sports today. Because for anyone that was unaware, at midnight last night, we had the opening up of the new rules. The NCAA had been really bullied into allowing now in all 50 states, in addition to the bills that were passed in 7, college players to be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness in these spots. We will talk to Haley and Hannah Cavender, Fresno State women's basketball players, twins there who are TikTok sensations, who were just seen earlier today in Times Square with their name, image, and likeness being celebrated for a major deal on the billboards in Times Square. So, Brandy, this got real, really quick with the real money that we've seen pouring in all across social media right now. College players varying from a restaurant in Nebraska that is sponsoring all the players in those athletic departments, to guys like De'Aaron King, Mackenzie Milton, being able to make upwards of $20,000 for appearances now.
Well, and it's long overdue. I think it's, you know, we were sort of talking about it before the show, like, how do we put on decent radio where we're not just agreeing with each other for 3 hours? But this feels so obvious with regard to being on the quote-unquote right side of history, and right side of history yet to be made moving forward throughout college sports. It's overdue. The money is going to sort itself out. I feel like $20,000 for the starting quarterback of a Power 5, you know, school is probably on the lower end, like once this thing moves forward. And I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, like years down the line, we might be pointing back and saying, wow, Mackenzie Milton got 20 grand just for, you know, one thing. Now that's going for 100. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I can say, we'll almost think like, wow, he's getting lowballed back then.
Yeah,
like, we had no idea how much this could be worth.
I'm going to be fascinated to see how this market sort of develops. I'm going to be fascinated to see if you're viewing the players as stocks, like what position groups, what sports figure to draw more money, earn more money for their athletes, and what athletes do with that. You know, this is like it's sort of a crash course financially for a lot of people in their late teens, early 20s as well, to learn about, I don't know, you know, taxes, how this affects maybe a Pell Grant or scholarship, whatever else, and maybe do they set up personalized businesses? Do we start seeing players as LLCs in a literal sense instead of just a figurative sense moving forward? But at least for today, it's watershed. It's got to be exciting in a lot of circles and terrifying in others. And I'm thinking of ivory towers and athletic departments around the country too.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of ways. You're right. It feels right now, even for me, like even for those of us that live in this and cover it, it feels like sensory overload right now. I think there are two real points here that we're going to make over the course of the day. We're going to talk to this two real points because it comes down to, for a lot of people, how will this affect the way that my sports look as a fan? That's where most people tend to freak out about all of this. And I think the biggest mistake that people are still making about this. So we'll get to those here in a couple of minutes, because last night, Randy, we also had something else happen. Not at midnight. It was just right around that time here where we managed to punch the clock for a monumental sports accomplishment here. Chin Angle Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Last night, the Phoenix Suns punched their ticket to the NBA Finals, Randy, the first time since 1993 and the first time ever for Chris Paul, the long-famed point guard considered a top-five guy by many. And we kind of got the full Chris Paul experience last night, Randy. I think that's a fair summation of it.
It is. It was decidedly like a Chris Paul showcase. Like, his entire buffet was out there. You got scoring. You got some antagonism. You got some victim acting, we'll say, right? I mean, like selling of calls.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you had him flopping blatantly when Boogie Cousins threw an elbow at him, which he did.
Yeah.
And then we follow that up with Patrick Beverley giving him the shove heard around the world at that point. So it really was a wild swing of, man, we all hate when Chris Paul does this flopping extra stuff, to, all right, man, you've gone way too far, to elation for what has been. And Randy, this is always kind of the indictment of, at times, what we do and just at times what sports fandom does, is reduce people like Chris Paul to their failure to get the one thing in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because even leading up to last night, Chris Paul going with 40 plus in a closeout game on the court of the team that he so often failed to get to the stage from, that felt like a monumental bleep you to so many people who are still going to dangle the carrot in front of him of, well, you haven't won the entire thing yet.
Well, the carrot stays dangled, but so does the grudge that Chris Paul holds. So the idea of doing this on that floor, and he referenced it very much so with Rachel Nichols after the game, and I know we have a part of that, but he said, he's like, listen, you are still talking to the LA crowd. This is still my family. Like, I, you know, it's very clear he didn't want to leave the way that he did. So there was some grace that I think comes with being in the league for 16 years. But let's also not lose sight now, and I want to be very careful here to not disrupt the Kobe hive. But there is something to, there are parallels with their careers in that eventually, you know, the line being, you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. For Kobe, there was an opposite of that in maturing into the role of elder statesman in the NBA.
Yep.
Because he was, how do we say this delicate? Like, he was a rougher guy to work with and around for a good part of his career. Kobe was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what?
Chris Paul's the same way. No amount of State Farm commercials.
Yep.
And for Kobe, no amount of Nike commercials. None of that could soften those edges, because that's not who he was and that's not who Chris Paul is. They wouldn't be at that level without that edge. But something happens to you later in life and later in your career, 16 years in, where I think you appreciate the swings at the, you know, the grabs at the brass ring, the fewer times they come around, because Chris has become more likable and become easier to root for.
Well, and I think a lot of it is that team around him, right? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromises. He said, I've got young guys on this team who have helped me out in that. And I think you saw that with him, with Kobe, with a lot of players, these alpha high-level competitors who go in wanting to cut everyone's heads off their whole career. that at some point they realize and see, all right, I'm not going to be able to do this forever. And these guys that I have a chance to influence and impact. I mean, Devin Booker, we talk about the Be Legendary tattoo that is an homage to the words Kobe said to him after their last time facing off together, seeing each other in person. Those things, I think just as much as Chris Paul's effect on this team, he would acknowledge the team has had a great effect on him and the way he goes about it. So plenty more here. We've also got some updated numbers on things because Giannis Antetokounmpo ruled out for Game 5 in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the numbers in Vegas indicate what you would think from the outside. We'll get you that coming up in a little bit here. But coming up next, NIL Day. The ball dropped last night. We hit midnight. And before we get ready to speak to some athletes that are getting ready to monetize at a high level, not playing the sport that you would all think, not being big-time college football players, we got to explain the biggest thing to take away from this and the biggest mistake people are still making about name, image, and likeness. Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm telling you.
The instant party starter.
I'm telling you. Fenway, definitely older. Definitely a more diverse crowd than you would think would rock out to this song, but it was happening. It was happening.
Mr. Brightside, if you need, and Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., Randy Scott filling in for Chinay Agumake today. And Randy, we've had this conversation on the show plenty of times. Mm. Everyone's got a song where, whether it's at a party, at a wedding especially, I think, the one song that will finally bring you to the dance floor. You've been milling around, you've been talking to people, having a couple of drinks, maybe chewing on dinner still, but there's that one song that lights everybody up that sends you there. Mr. Brightside is definitely one of them.
It'll get you out there. Thank you so much for asking what mine are. I have two. I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh yeah.
Whitney Houston.
A classic.
Out there. Also, Bye 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 by NSYNC.
Who among us can resist
if
that?
If you can do this, you could dance to that song.
And I would say, if we just want to continue to remove the melanin from this conversation, I was at a wedding last weekend
and
Shake It Off by Taylor Swift came on, and boy, did I go running.
Oh, all right. So I went out. It was a wedding in Rhode Island, humid, muggy Saturday, and I'm like, I got to have this dance floor. I look like I swam to this wedding. And I walk outside, and I'm like, I see the guys that I sat with at the table for dinner. I'm like, I need a break, guys. I can't. And from behind me, through the doors, I hear, hey, hey. And I'm like, and I just like put my head down. And I was like, dang it. And I just, ran back in. I was like, I have to go.
Well, all I can think of is, what is it, that video of Prince Harry where he's doing the interview in his military outfit and a siren goes off and he just gets up and starts sprinting?
Yeah.
That is Randy Scott when Bye 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 pops on at your wedding. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Randy, I always said I was so good at weddings, you could hire me to come there to be your party star and it would work out. Now, if I was back in college, you actually would be able to do that. Happy Name, Image, and Likeness Day to all who celebrate it right now. If you've missed it, if you've been living under a rock for a while, college athletes can now go out here, and if a restaurant wants to pay them to do an appearance and sign autographs, you don't have to do it behind closed doors like Johnny Manziel told us that he was doing it. Now, you get to enjoy that in the light of day. And Randy, I know we talked about it. There's a lot that feels like is going on right now. Every time I look on social media, some new player has signed some new endorsement deal, and we will talk to two that have done that. Haley and Hannah Cavender, Fresno State women's basketball guards here, twin guards who are TikTok sensations, who are just in New York signing a deal with Boost Mobile today. Like, that's where we're at. But Randy, in my mind, it always comes back to the people I talk to about this, especially in college football world, is they're worried about how this is going to affect their team, how this is going to affect recruiting, how this is going to affect the balance of power. And I feel like I have to constantly remind people, it's not.
At all, and not even a little bit, because I'm trying to think of just the idea of like playing time jealousy, which would happen with or without this, right? If you're at the same position group, on the same roster, you're both on scholarship, you're like, that guy's getting more burn than I am. Invariably, it's human nature, right? You think about that, you always compare yourself against someone else. Now you can do that in a different way, in a literal dollar and cents way. So is there any concern as a guy who's been in that locker room, who's been in that brotherhood, where you're thinking, okay, maybe there might be some jealousy with regard to like, hey, I play the same position this guy does. Why is he getting that deal and I'm not? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, and Randy, I can understand that.
If you're a coach, are you worried about something like that?
I think if you're a coach, you're worried about a lot of this, right? Like, I've made this point that if you're a fan, you don't need to worry about this right now. Now, yeah. This is cracking the foundation of amateurism, so you're going to watch out in the distance for this. But if you're a fan right now, like, if you're a college football fan and you click on this fall, what you see, the quality of play there, is not going to be changed or diminished. Now, the transfer portal might change certain things. There are other elements of this that might change it, but that's mm-hmm. not one of them. But to go to the locker room jealousy point here, I would say this isn't creating a problem that isn't already there. It might give it a new face because, like, for me, I was not a marquee player there, and I understood I wouldn't rake in as much money as a guy like Manti Te'o, as Tyler Eifert on that team, as any of our quarterbacks in there. Yeah. But for me, there's also that side plot of, well, I had a good personality. I worked well with the media in college. We had a thing called Trick Shot Monday that was a YouTube sensation when I was at Notre Dame. Yeah. And we could have been making some money off that. And so maybe if there's some thought of, well, what if you've got a backup offensive lineman term late career starter who's bringing in more money than some of the starters? Could there in theory be some resentment? Yes, but I think for the most part, people understand the game so well now among these players that that'll be mitigated because right now it seems like there's something for everybody.
I chuckled at some of the deals that were already in place. So, like, ready to go, stroke of midnight. This website is live and now you can book, you know, Dan Smith for your bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. You know what I mean? Like, he'll come out, shake some hands, kiss some babies. There were guys ready to go. And I applaud the entrepreneurship. I applaud the, you know, the hustle, the grind, all of it. I worry about, and you see this with the NBA sometimes, where you're like, all right, you know, there's two, three rounds of picks, and we got 400 guys declaring for the draft. Like, it's musical chairs. And I wonder if there are going to be guys who sign on with media groups, you know, cameo outfits, something like that, where they're promised certain things. They say, oh, of course, yeah, you're going to make this, whatever. And they're beholden to that because, you know, there'll be a non-compete, right?
Oh, yeah.
There'll be that for some of these athletes. I wonder if people will be boxed out just by virtue of the market not having enough support for whatever they're offering. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be.
We'll see.
And you know what, Randy, I think we're thinking about that because right now it feels like we're taking in everything in totality, right? Like,
yeah,
we're drinking the NIL through a fire hose right now. And it feels like that, even for the people like us that support it. And what I was talking about during the break with our producer, Travis, is if you give this a year, what's going to happen is we will be reporting on De'Eriq King making the kind of money he talked about, Mackenzie Milton making that time of money, the Covender twins that we're getting ready to talk to here. We won't be talking about all these little mom-and-pop deals. It'll just be like the NFL. There are so many players in the NFL that have deals in their local markets that have car dealerships around there, and we never hear about them because they're not deals that rise above a certain threshold to ping our interest. And so it's going to take a while. It's going to be like the transfer portal where this thing is going to be swole and look kind of messy for a little bit, but that's because we're doing this for the first time, just like anything else.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to see it. I'm glad at the very least it's a problem we're allowed to have now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's a champion's problem. If your diamond shoes are too tight, your 50s are too big for your wallet, it's a nice problem to have. And at the very least, these athletes get that shot now.
Exactly. These athletes get that shot. And all of the people in weird college football tax Twitter get something to complain about during the day. I have never seen a bunch of people more concerned with 18-year-olds being able to do their taxes. You guys should all be teachers with the amount you care about making sure that these young men and women know how to go and give the government some money. Like, man, who hurt you all this badly? I mean, clearly the IRS, but like, who hurt you all?
I think
so
it's very clear.
Yeah, I guess. No, I think we all understand who hurt us here. But like Randy said, this is something that now we get to explore, and it's an exciting opportunity. And coming up next, we will show you just how far and wide the benefit can go here, how many people stand ready to capitalize now off something that used to be off limits to them. We will talk to two athletes that are doing just that in a big way next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And it is Name, Image, and Likeness Day. We've talked about it around here. Randy and I, we choose to celebrate that day. If it is a holiday that you and your family choose to celebrate, then we wish you a happy NIL Day as well. But college athletes finally have broken through and are now allowed to capitalize and profit off their name, image, and likeness. But what does that mean? How does that look? We've heard all the time it's going to be different for different people. All these concerns. We're excited to talk to two athletes that are making use of this right now, who have actually been in New York signing one of the bigger deals that you will see at the start of this name, image, and likeness process. So we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline right now, where we get to talk to Haley and Hannah Cavender, Fresno State women's basketball guards twins. You can see them, the Cavender twins, on TikTok, over 3.3 million followers on their combined account. In New York today, signing a monster deal with Boost Mobile. You've seen them all over Times Square. So Hannah, Haley, we appreciate you guys giving us some time today. Just walk me through what this morning has been like for you guys, finally getting to this moment.
Thank you so much for having us. And we touched down in New York after a flight delay at like 12 a.m. And we turned off our airport mode and saw that on Icon Source there was an offer for us from Boost Mobile. And it was just crazy to see that on July 1 at 12 a.m., somebody wanted to work with us and such a known company. So we are just so stoked to be in New York and to have a deal with them.
So reading an article about how this all came together and maybe what the last couple of weeks have been like for you and perhaps how hectic it's been, it sounds like there was no shortage of opportunity for you, that you got to be choosy and maybe not jump on the first train leaving the station. Why did you guys ultimately settle on the deals that you did?
Yeah, so we did definitely prepare a lot before this just because we wanted to eliminate as much stress as possible. But we just believed in these brands, like Haley said, with Boost Mobile. We were so surprised because they're such a great company. So we definitely were very, very stoked when we saw that in our Icon Source that there was a contract waiting for us. And then Six Star was a nutrition brand, and we obviously are very into nutrition, so we just thought that would be a great opportunity as well.
Janae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Haley and Hannah Cavender here, Fresno State women's basketball point guards, kind enough to join us here as we're kind of digesting the world you guys are walking to. I played college football at Notre Dame, and this was not a part of our world. So what have the conversations been like? Because that's the one thing I've always said is we didn't really even talk about this stuff because it didn't feel possible. So for you guys in the last couple years, as you've been in college, you've been making this content on various platforms here, when did you guys start to talk about the possibility of being able to make money off this, to turn this into something that looks kind of like a living?
I think about 5 months ago when the talk around media about NIL passing on July 1 was coming out, me and Hannah were like, wow, this could be a good job for us one day, hopefully. So once that started coming off, me and Hannah started taking it very seriously and was just trying to set ourselves up for success in the future.
It's interesting looking at how the TikTok numbers skyrocketed and how it all started, because reading Haley, reading you say it, like, okay, Hannah had her own TikTok during the pandemic, and you're like, hey, make some videos dancing with me, like, let's dance together and see what happens. Did you ever think from that day to now that an opportunity like Boost Mobile and like other deals in the pipeline were even possible?
Definitely not. That was not on our at all. I just woke up and I was like, Haley, this would be really cool if we dribbled some basketballs to it. And We woke up the next morning and the numbers were insane. So we never thought that this day would come, but obviously we're super grateful for it. And just like any other athletes, we're just grateful for the opportunity and being able to connect to different companies.
Haley and Hannah Cavender with us here on the Goodyear Hotline, Fresno State women's basketball guards. And what's the conversation been like with your teammates? Because so many people who are against this thing say, well, if you have all these people getting money, some people are going to get jealous. It's going to be divisive in the locker room. So what's the experience been like for you guys with your teammates as you've exploded in popularity like this?
Right. Our teammates, we have a goofy relationship with them. So they just kind of like joke around with us and are like, oh, y'all are big time now, or stuff like that. But they're so supportive. I don't think it will ever come in between our team at all. We have one goal, and I don't think NIL passing would affect that at all.
Okay, that might be a team goal. What about individually now, off the court, as brands, as businesswomen, however you want to define yourselves, what's the goal, either collectively or as individuals?
I don't think we have any expectations right now. We are definitely keeping our school and this brand separate because you cannot represent each other. But I think our goals are just trying to work with brands that we love, like Boost Mobile and Six Star. So we're just super excited about that right now and moving forward with other companies.
And to that end, you mentioned school and this. What conversations, because we see some schools partnering up with third-party groups to help kind of go through and sort all this out. We've seen some schools try and work on campus. Has Fresno State, have there been any conversations just to help you and your teammates, other athletes, kind of navigate where we're going with all of this?
Right. My coaches have definitely been giving us great knowledge on it and just seeking information just because they know Hannah and I would be put in this situation. So they've been a great resource, along with Open Doors partnering with our school earlier this year. They have been a great resource as well. So we just have been soaking in all this knowledge that they've been giving us, along with Icon Source. So we're super grateful to have them in our corners.
Agents aren't anything new in the sports world, nothing new in the media world as well, and you guys are sort of now operating in an overlap of that. I'm curious how you were able to find someone to work with, to trust, whether it's an agent or just, you know, like a PR rep or someone like that, to rep your best interests, but also your best financial plans.
Thankfully, my sister has helped us a lot and has become our manager slash agent for right now. So we're just super grateful that we have somebody we can trust, and she's been in this business for a while, so we're just excited to work with her.
That's awesome.
It's incredible to see what you guys have built already in such a short amount of time here, and as we get ready to go into this new world where this is all possible, wish you guys nothing but the best. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Everyone can check them out. Haley and Hannah Cavender, again, Fresno State guards, the Cavender Twins account on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Great talking to you guys. Best of luck with everything, and congratulations. This is really awesome to see for you guys.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Awesome stuff. Randy, it's just incredible talking to the two of them right now, because I think they just finished up their sophomore year at Fresno State.
Yeah.
And I just go back to, and this is a point I've made time and time again, is the way that we approach college athletics. I was in college 10, 12 years ago. I was a freshman in 2008, and these were just not conversations that we've had to have. But when you are looking now around the landscape of college sports at the way the recruiting process has turned into a much more business-like professional operation and started younger and younger, I'm not surprised that kids are better able to handle and navigate all of this now. I said, I feel like we need to upgrade the software on what we believe these young athletes are capable of, because it already feels like a lot more than my generation would have been able to do.
They're exposed to it from a much younger age. They're born entirely in the age of the internet. They are exposed to social media and cell phones and whatever, smartphones, at a far younger age. They are better equipped to handle the challenges with regard to that. You want the right people around them. That's why I was so excited to hear that it's sort of a family effort and a family operation with regard to managing the money, calling the opportunities, looking over the contracts, things like that. Because at any age, you don't want to see someone get taken advantage of. So I was excited to hear that from the Cavender side of things. But also, you can tell there's an excitement about renewed possibility around sports. And I feel like there's a camaraderie. Before we splinter this up and say, hey, your teammates are going to get jealous, or some sports are going to get more attention, or whatever else, at the very least, there seems to be a collective excitement for a group of 400,000-plus young people, athletes around the country, who have, at the very least, an opportunity. They have the choice to do this, and whether or not they are marketable, they're going to find out, but they have the chance.
Exactly, and that's all we've been saying, is give them the opportunity to see what rewards can be out there for the work that they're already putting in. So really appreciate Haley and Hannah giving us some time. It's going to be exciting to watch their growth and many others. But coming up next, less exciting what we've seen out of the NFL today. News about a long-standing look into one team and one program's culture around the workplace finally gets a verdict today from the league. We'll tell you what that is next here. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
NBA Eastern Conference playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 5 as the Bucks host the Hawks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. We'll get you caught up on what Vegas has to say about the path to the finals now, because with Giannis Antetokounmpo ruled out for Game 5 now, still waiting on the status of Trae Young, the Hawks star here.
Yeah.
There's a lot that feels up in the air, except for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, the Suns are the lock. The Suns are waiting a date with Atlanta or Milwaukee. They're the favorite, I would think. I don't know. Favorite against either one? We'll get into that.
We'll give you the numbers on that coming up here in a second here because we've got them from our friends at Caesars William Hill.
Oh, there we go.
It is Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Randy Scott hanging out, filling in for Chinay Agwimike today. By the way, future odds to win the title. Right now, the Suns minus 200, the Bucks plus 320, and the Hawks plus 550. So the Suns, the overwhelming favorite right now to go ahead and win the NBA Finals. Phoenix, this is for you.
Valley Rally. Love it.
Oh, my God.
Love it. Give me all the branding, all the merchandise, all of it.
Valley Swag, a 10 out of 10 here. So that's great news for one franchise there. We'll get back into what the playoff picture looks like as we whittle this thing down to the end there. But, Randy, we got to answer to an investigation that had been going on for quite some time. The NFL's investigation into the Washington football team. Yeah. The allegations into the culture of that team being toxic, being one of bullying and intimidation, especially for the women on staff. And reported by our own Adam Schefter that the league has fined the Washington football team $10 million as a result of the findings in that. And Randy, this is when you read it, when you read what they're saying here, and this is just one excerpt here. Based on the review, the commissioner concluded that for many years, the workplace environment at the Washington football team, both generally and particularly for women, was highly unprofessional. Bullying and intimidation frequently took place, and many described the culture as one of fear, and numerous female employees reported having experienced sexual harassment and a general lack of respect in the workplace. Ownership and senior management paid little or no attention to these issues, and in some instances, senior executives engaged in inappropriate context themselves. Like, Randy, they're basically in this report saying that everything we heard was true.
The thing that bothers me about it, in addition to the details, in addition to the fact that everything that had been rumored and accused has now stood up to an independent investigation in the light of day, the fact that Daniel Snyder can sit out there now and put out the statement he did, saying in part, basically, I've learned a lot in the past few months about how my club operated and the kind of workplace we had. He is saying he didn't know how bad it was, right? It is incongruous with what one of the suggestions and one of the findings and actionable items is now from the league, recommended by the investigator, which is that Daniel Snyder no longer oversees day-to-day operations.
Right.
So while he was overseeing day-to-day operations, he was so either disconnected, ignorant, whatever however you want to phrase it, to quote himself, unaware of what was going on, so negligent in that responsibility and overseeing the day-to-day, that this went on not for a short period of time either. This went on for 15 years that they were able to document. And so to me, sitting there as a guy who grew up in the area whose mom was a season ticket holder, you look at the fine, it's less than $1 million a year for how long this was going on. For a guy who, when the investigation started, owned 60% of his team. He was allowed to accrue more stake in his franchise.
Yes, he was rewarded through this
while
process.
While an active investigation that was ultimately proven true was going on. He now owns close to, I believe, a full 100% of his franchise, and this happens now. So, yes, he's not overseeing day-to-day. He's still the guy in charge. And fully in charge in such a way where now he owns the entire... He answers to no one
and
in that front office.
Well, and the sick part about all of this, there's a lot of that to this, to be clear, but when you look at this and all those recommendations that came out, it's the old saying, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen, right? You've created an environment where these complaints were not heard for so long that this festered, or you were involved in it more than's being made out here. But as we look at it now, I'm struck by also what we're seeing is earlier this week we saw the news that his wife was named co-CEO of the Washington football team, and she's out here talking about how shocked and saddened she is to see all of this being thrown out in here. We've seen him now put out Ron Rivera in front of this team, bring in Jason Wright into this team, and now bringing his wife. And it's not to say that those people aren't qualified, but in light of all of this, it feels like I'm going to put all these people that represent all these things that you said I wasn't in front of me to absorb this while I quietly make it go away.
And you know what happens to have taken place? A benefit from that inclusive, more diverse experience,
Team's
gotten better. The culture's gotten better.
And that's the thing I don't want to take away from that, because Jason Wright's done an outstanding job there.
Ron
Rivera's done an outstanding job there.
Right.
I don't know Daniel Snyder's wife, and I'm not saying that anyone involved isn't deserving or hasn't done a great job.
Right.
But with all of this in the background and knowing Daniel Snyder, it feels gross.
It's taken all of that in order for those hires to be made, though.
Yes.
That's the problem.
That is among many problems with the Washington football team, was, again, fined $10 million after the NFL's investigation. We'll get back into the NBA Finals next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.